So Time to Soar in 24 is what I've named the year, I guess, felt the Lord leading for the church. And I know a lot of other churches are doing more in 24 is what I've heard from some other people. But I believe if you soar, you get them both. You know what I mean? You get more if you soar.
Yeah.
So anyway, we like to defy gravity around here, right? How many's defied gravity in their life? Amen. So, hallelujah. All right, so with the new year comes always new opportunities, and we have a new beginning. I hope it's a point of demarcation, I think, in some ways. I always look forward to the new year myself. I like to have a fresh start in some certain things in my life, and I hope you take advantage of that. You know, in the beginning of the year is an awesome time, and also like when school starts, that's kind of a fresh start. And so it's good to kind of take advantage of the rhythms of life, right? Because they are out there. We kind of need to learn how to work with them. And, you know, Jesus said that in the world, you and I are going to have some tribulation, but that he overcame the world, right? How many's had tribulation in their life? How many today, maybe, already? On the way here, probably, huh? That's what happens sometimes, right? The hardest trip is the drive to church for some married couples. That's why my wife and I always drive separately, praise God. That and I come early. But anyway, so, you know, instead of living a life of struggle, you know, I think it'd be good for us to learn how to soar above the chaos and the things that kind of come in there. So to me, a life of victory is possible because with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And we have to hold on to that.
Thank you.
With God, all things are possible. And so I want you to kind of think maybe in your mind, you know, what might be impossible for you today, but you know that with God it would be. You know, what could we maybe grab a hold of? What change could we make in our life to maybe to get us to a different level? You know, a different level of faith where we can start to accomplish more things for the kingdom. So I just want us to kind of throw that out there. We're going to do a very familiar scripture. As a matter of fact, Sister Scarlett stole it a few minutes ago. And it's Isaiah. I was going to shout her down when she started saying it, but anyway, it's good to hear it more than once. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I thank you, Lord. We need unction so that we may function. Lord, we just need that unction right now. Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for that Pentecostal power to be here today. Thank you that you poured out your Spirit. And Lord, that was the birth of the church. Lord, right now we thank you, Lord, that you're doing a special stirring in each of our hearts as we are anticipating something special, something great coming this new year.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that we're never the same. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, Lord, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so first point I want to look at is kind of the name of the year is to soar in 24 and what all that means. You know, up on the screen during the rotation part, you know, have a picture of an eagle with its wings really stretched out. You know, if you like, you know, looking at birds when they fly, I think it's kind of amazing. You know, even a buzzard looks amazing from a long ways away, right? You know, they look pretty cool up there. And, you know, especially an eagle, you know, when they have their wings out and just effortless flight, just letting the currents take them, you know, to greater places. And see, that's what we need to learn, you know, in our life, you know, in our relationship with God. You know, some people God may be just a fable. God may not be, you know, something that's real. It's a fairy tale that's been told, you know, because that's all they really think it is. But, you know, I've come to find out, and I know many of you have also, that God's real. And the reality of God in our life is so important. You know, what he can do, because, you know, God, he can just do so many different things in our life, things that we could never imagine, things that are out there in a realm where, you know, we never thought was possible. But now they are, in what God wants to do. And so the first question, you know, it asks here, do you not know? You know, that's a valid point. Do we not know? See, some things we know, and some things we know that we know. And we need to get to that place. See, there's a difference between knowing about something and actually knowing something. I know a lot about the Bible. I've studied it for years, read it for years. But I'll be honest to say, I may not know that I know that I know everything in the Bible. Some things out there maybe are in a place where I haven't totally grasped them by faith yet. And that's okay, because I'm not quitting. I'm not done yet. Right. I'm still going on.
Yes.
I'm still plodding along and keep fighting that good fight of faith. But I'll tell you what, there are some things that I do know. I do know. I do know that I'm saved. I do know that if I died today that I'd be with Jesus instantaneously. Amen. You know, so fear of death is not something on the table for me anymore. It used to be. But see, it comes by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and coming to that position, you know, where we submit our lives to him and start to realize the reality of God and what he means for us. And there are certain things in the Word that we really need to own. We need to own it. It's ours. And like I said, you know, far as salvation goes, Satan can't take that from me. I know for a fact it's mine. I own it. My name's on it. Matter of fact, my name's written in a book.
Amen.
And it's called the Book of Life. And I'm smart enough to know that I'm not going to give up. You know, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to hang in there and keep following God. Because I know the promise that's coming at the end. And like I say, there's things, you know, that we can learn how to tap into, some blessings. Now, something that I've realized, you know, many of you know that, you know, several months ago we took up an offering for the nation of Israel, and many participated in that. And I kid you not, I'm tapping into some of that now in my life. You know, I'm starting to see some of them blessings come in my way. Something happened the other day that's never really happened. And, you know, the first thing that I said, well, I never really, you know, that doesn't happen to me ever. And that was out of my mouth because it never happens. And what it was, I won something. You know, I never win anything. You know, I mean, I you know, and the first part of the year, I won something. And I told the guy, man, I never win. But then I got to thinking, well, that's stupid. Why am I saying something negative, you know? And God really quickened in my spirit, you know, that I'm starting to tap in to some of those blessings. So, you know, I got my eyes open now. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready for those blessings to start to chase me down. And so I had to have an expectancy, and that's what we need to understand is the idea of expectancy. We're going to go into that. So, you know, we are looking at one of those things today that we really need to own is the fact, the reality of God. And as we go through this series a little bit, the Lord spoke this to me a month or two ago, and I started to write down some ideas, and I'll be honest, this wasn't even on my radar. It's funny, sometimes God gives me the end of the message and he works me forward. I don't know why. So that's why I read the back of the book first. I may do that, right? Get to the back. I just want to know the answer now, you know, and then if I like it, I'll go read the rest of it. But, you know, I know God has some good things all the way. So the Bible says here that he's an everlasting God. And to me, everlasting, you know, pretty self-explanatory, right? God lasts forever. The God who lasts forever. God never gets tired. You know, a lot of times, you know, we think that maybe God's too busy for us, or God's got so many things going on around the world, you know, that he ain't got time for our little problems, you know. But, you know, I have news for you. God has time for everybody. and he doesn't get tired. God's never going to call in sick. He's never going to, you know, not show up one day. You know, thank God he's never going to take a personal day. You know what I mean? A lot of people take personal days. Well, I need a day off. I need a personal day. You know, some people's been taking a lot of personal days, you know, when it comes to God. You know, they need to get back in there and get to work for the kingdom, but, you know, they're going to find out, you know, that they're missing out. And what we see here from God is that his understanding, it says here, is hard for us to understand. You know, it's kind of complicated in the sense how God understands things and things going on in our life. And what amazes me, you know, is the fact of God omniscience, and that's a big word, you can look it up. I don't know how to spell it, but I know how to say it, I think. But, you know, he can see the end as easy as the beginning. We can't do that. You know, we can't really see the end of the matter. Most of us here probably don't know, you know, hypothetically what's happening tomorrow. You know, we hear there's snow coming, right? And so we understand that. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I could stay up in Minnesota. I don't really, you know, I prefer to have a little bit of rain and not snow. But some people like the snow, and if you're praying for snow, I want you to know I'm praying against you. You know what I mean? That's just the way it works. You know, but, you know, it says we're going to get a lot of snow. So I don't know, we'll see, you know, what that means. But, you know, but God can see the end of our life as well as he can see the day we were born. And see him at the same time. That's how big our God is. He understands things in a different way than you and I could ever understand. And so, you know, as we follow him, to me, that puts, it should put a level of peace in our heart to understand that God's not going to be surprised. You know, he doesn't wake up one day and say, man, I didn't see that coming. You know, he'll never say that. Because he knows, he knows everything. He can see everything that's going to happen, and the plans that he has for us are so good. But we just have to, now we're going to have some battles, okay? We're going to have some fights along the way. And we need to be aware of that. And most of us probably are by now. You know, I've shared this back when I first got saved, way back in the 80s, man. You know what I mean? Back in the 80s, the good old days. But anyway, there were some people going around saying, you know, all you have to do is become a Christian. You'll never have another problem. Man, that's false advertising. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, battles come. You know, the Bible says those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. You know, there's going to be some things happen in our life. And you just can't get mad at God and, you know, think that, well, now that I'm a Christian, everything should be, you know, just go my way all the time. Well, as far as God's concerned, he has great plans for us. But as far as the devil's concerned, he has evil plan for us. And we live in a world that has fallen. The world does not submit itself to the things of God. And so we're living in this system, and we're trying to use God's system, so there's going to be some battles along the way, you know, that you and I, you know, need to learn how to navigate through and to be able to fight through. You know, like it said, Jesus overcame the world. You know, we need to learn how to do that. And, you know, and I shared this yesterday, but in our prayer meeting, but, you know, we need to learn, and you need to write this down and think about it. It'll, your brain. We need to learn how to live independent of our circumstances. Need to learn how to live independent of our circumstances. Because we're in this kind of a Holy Ghost bubble with God, and we don't need to allow ourselves to get mixed up in the fear and the worries and all the problems of the world, even though they're around us, but they don't have to control our mind. They don't have to put us in fear. You know, we can resist that. Because those things are just feelings, and, you know, I know I'm not a robot, but feelings are a lie. Feelings come and go, but faith lasts forever. Feelings come and go, but faith lasts forever. And if we can get to that place where we're trusting God and God's Word more than we trust the things of this world, which is going to pass away, but God will never pass away. God's word will never pass away. Amen. It's eternal. It's everlasting. If we can get to the place where we walk in that realm a little bit, we're going to start to see more victory. We're going to start to see more victory in our life. And we're going to start to see the things, you know, that we've been desiring to happen start to come to pass. Is it easy? No. If it's easy, everybody do it. Right? It's so easy to not try and just wait around to die. You know what I mean? There's a lot of Christians just waiting. Just waiting on the rapture bus, you know? You know, when God comes and, you know, we're out of here. Poor, poor, pitiful me. But, you know, I don't like living that way. So what I know is the fact that God can see our best day even when we're living our worst day. You might be living your worst day right now. Maybe there's some things in your life that's going on that's beyond your control, and you just don't seem like you can win those things. You know, but to soar in 24, you know, we have to understand that God can see our best day, and that's how he's wanting us to head that way. He's wanting us to keep plodding on. Just like the children of Israel, they were taken to the promised land. God said, here, this is your land. I want you to have it. So they sent out some spies, and they looked at it. Well, 10 came back in fear and 2 came back in faith, and the 10 overrode the fear with the people. So then the rest of them walked in the wilderness for 40 years. Circle, circle, circle. Just waiting to die. That's what they were. Because they didn't have the faith to go into the promised land. But you know who didn't die? Joshua and Caleb. The two who had faith. They was able to see the promise with their own eyes. And to be able to go in. And see, we need to get to the place where we understand and we're starting to trust God more than we can trust, you know, everything that the news tells us, right? Because the news, you know, it's mostly just all bad anyway quite a bit. So we just don't want to focus on that. Now, it says here also in this passage that God gives strength and increases power. I believe we all need increase, right? Maybe we need to get stronger. We need to have increase in our life and increase the power, you know, to be overcome the, some of the things that we need to do battle against. You know, I equate it when I was starting out, you know, I didn't have a lot of power. I had a lot of grace and still do. But, you know, the idea of some of the things that used to take me out, you know, now I don't even sweat a bullet. You know what I mean? And you're going to find out in your walk, and most of you could probably come up here and give a testimony, you know, compared to how you were when you started out, you know, things that used to get you off your game and things that used to make you worry and fret and all these things, you know, but now those things are nothing to you. Why? You have experience. You've went through it. You've witnessed and you've experienced your Heavenly Father showing up time and time again in your life. And to bring you through to the other side. But see, what happens is that the Satan, he wants us to get conceptualized into this moment right now. Okay? He wants you to stay in this moment and to get you to see that you can't see beyond that moment to really what's down the road. But see, if we come to God by faith, knowing that that moment is going to pass, you know, just like this too shall pass. You know, most of us probably understand, you know, I remember, I've always shared this, you know, when my wife and I used to, you know, get in arguments a little bit, she'd be mad at me for 4 or 5 days. I mean, I'm not the easiest guy to live with, you know, I mean, just like I've always said, you know, but, you know, it comes to pass that we've experienced marriage a little bit longer, you know, that we know that those things don't hold us back. I mean, it may take 10 minutes to get over it, where it used to take days. But see, we went through some experience. We know that those things, you know, aren't really real. There's no benefit. I mean, reading the Bible sometimes is a bummer because it says, you know, your prayers are going to get hindered if you don't get along. Right? I mean, you're going to spend that time praying and then it's not going to work all because you're in strife with somebody. You know, I mean, so, and that's talking about your husband and wife relationship there, but I believe, you know, it kind of goes over. So if you read that, it kind of makes us, you know, sometimes, you know, look at life a little bit different. Our approach is maybe somewhat a little bit different. So God can see our best day. He gives strength and power. And whenever we feel, whenever we feel like it's our last step is when we tap into God's first step. You know, that's when God's grace comes in. You know, when we feel that we can't go on anymore, You know, we tap into God's grace, and then he increases our power and brings us, you know, in a way to the place that he wants us to be. But that all comes by, you know, learning to walk with him, because life can be long and hard and we can get tired. Now, I think we'd all admit sometimes that we get tired. You know, I know some who's been in a battle for a while now, and they're tired. You know, the battle's been long, and it's been hard, you know, and it just keeps coming. But we serve an everlasting God. God's strength will never run out. So there's always that potential that you and I can tap into his strength to keep going, and we need that. We need that encouragement. We need that, and we need each other so that we can, you know, be able to carry on and get to the place we need to be. And what I believe is the fact that God doesn't just add to our strength, he multiplies it. I like multiplication better than addition, you know, especially if it's blessings coming my way. How many would like one blessing or 10? I think we'd want 10, right? We want to multiply it. And that only, that only comes, you know, we start to understand God a little bit better. You know, sometimes I found out in my life when I'm walking with God, and maybe you found this out, is that sometimes I'm just along for the ride. We need to buckle up. You know what I mean? Sometimes, I think a lot of times in our life we say, oh God, it's going so slow. Why ain't this getting here now? Why ain't this, you know, I wanted this already. I mean, but then other times when it speeds up, I mean, my land, just hang on, right? So many things are going on, and God's just moving in our life, and we just need to buckle up and hang on to what he's doing. Goes on to say here that the young and strong will fall back, but, you know, we don't have to. See, a lot of times we look at things in the natural. I mean, you probably have done this at least once in your life, where you may look around the room and you size everybody up. You say, wow, I think I'm more spiritual than that person. Ooh, but not that person over there. They look like they got it all together. They're smiling all the time. I bet they don't have any problems, because they're always smiling. And, you know, every post on Facebook is positive. So it has to be like that, right? You know? We all know that people usually don't share. Now, there's a few people share too much, some of their negative stuff. But for the most part, we just tell the great things, right, in life. We just tell the good things. But see, we need to understand, you know, that, you know, we don't compare ourselves with other people. We just want to get to the place in our relationship with God that it doesn't matter, you know, what's going on around us, but it's just between me and God and how we're going to walk in that. So just because outward appearances, it looks like someone is strong, doesn't mean that they are. It's what's on the inside that matters. And the old saying, not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. So I want you to challenge yourself this next year to be ready just to stand and keep standing. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just keep on going after God. Then it talks about here to wait for the Lord. You know, waiting on God. You know, we need to put our hope or our expectancy on him. You know, sadly, sometimes our expector gets broken, and I've shared this before. Our expector is the fact that we have that thing, something that's inside of us, where we're looking ahead and we want something more than we have right now. And that's not wrong. I'm not talking about greed here. I'm talking about the fact that you want some of the things, some of the promises that God tells us in Scripture that we can have, and our expectancy. And like I've always said, you know, as I get older, you have to have a reason to get up every day. If you don't have a reason to get out of bed, a lot of people won't get out of bed. You know, you have to have an expectancy for that new day and what's coming. And it needs to be that, you know, in our relationship with God. You know, I hope I haven't made it as far as I'm going to go with God right now. I'm content where I'm at. You know, this is a nice place to be, but from what I see, there's more. There's more. And me with my lightning quick intellect, the more I get, the more of a blessing I can be to other people. The more of a blessing I can be to the kingdom of God. The more people that I can help and see their lives changed. But that's only going to happen if I'm willing to grow. if I'm willing to go to a place I've never been before, and we have to make that decision, am I willing to go to a place I've never been before with God? And that's a place that is kind of scary sometimes because we've never been there. I mean, just like your first day at a new job, remember that? You know, especially when you're young, starting out. Never really worked anywhere before, don't have a lot of experience or any experience. And then you show up and you don't have a clue. You know, one of my things was I was a grunt as an electrician. When you start out at 18 years old, man, you don't make you a foreman. No, you don't get an office. No, they send you to go get things. You know what I mean? And I thought I knew about a lot of things. But the journeyman would play with your head a little bit. They would send me for things that weren't real. You know, and here it is. I'm scared of getting fired, you know, even though they only paid me $3.50 an hour. You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't nothing, you know. But I was out there and I was digging through stuff trying to find what they sent me for. And then the foreman of the job came in and said, "What are you doing? What are you looking for?" And I told him, he says, "There is no such a thing. Those guys were just messing with you." And see, that's what it feels like sometimes in life. If you've never been somewhere before, if you've never experienced it, you can have that kind of fear. You know, we have to know that's when we trust the Lord. And, you know, we need to keep that expector, because when we stop expecting things, we're going to stop receiving things. You know, I know that maybe some of us from time to time have gotten a little upset because our prayers weren't answered. I don't know about you, but I've been. There's been times in my life where I prayed for something and I didn't get it. And so you know what happens? Is that can get us to a place where we don't want to ask anymore, because we don't think it's going to work. But see, that's the lie that the enemy wants to put in our mind. I don't know why they didn't get answered, but I know this. I need to be smart enough to ask again. I need to ask again. I need to get my expector out there and let my faith grow and start to look to where I can really, you know, start to ascertain the things that God has for my life. And to do that, you know, we're going to have to mount up with wings and start to soar. Because I do know this, if you're stressed out, your faith is weak. Think about that. Think about times in your life where you were stressed, where your mind is so focused on the failure and the problem. What does that do to our faith? It robs it, doesn't it? And we're going to have to get to the place where we can start to rise above those things, because when we soar, it's like effortless flight. And we get up there, and so, you know, when everyone else is flapping their wings to stay in flight, we just stretch out our wings and let the upward draft of the Holy Spirit carry us to a better place. Amen? Amen. Don't stress it, man. Don't stress it. Worry will never get us anywhere. Never. You will never win anything by worrying. Unless there is a worry contest. Right? I suppose you could win that one if that's your goal in life. Hey, I want to win a worry contest. You know, I'm practicing right now. No, we don't want that. So next point is something I shared last week a little bit. You know, the idea of removing limitations and inhibitions in our life. We need to get to that place, you know, where we're walking with God. See, the Lord spoke that to me a week or so ago. As a matter of fact, is when my wife and Kaylee and I were praying there before the first of the year. And, you know, just praying that God was going to do something this new year. And, you know, I'm excited, not because, you know, some people say, you know, well, God said he wants to remove the limitations and inhibitions in my life. And the only thing they're going to hear about that is, oh, I got limitations and inhibitions. You know, they're going to look at it like, oh, man, I got all these problems. No, I see it the fact that God's going to start to remove those. We're going to have breakthrough. Amen. We're going to start to see some things. And so I'm excited about that. And, you know, the Lord, you know, is wanting me to deal with some of those things. And that's what he does. He wants us to deal with things in our life. And, you know, to get to the next level with God, sometimes we need to lighten our load. That means I need to, you know, get rid of some stuff. You know, I still threaten my wife, I'm going to go get me a dumpster. You know, we're going to start dealing with some of this stuff we have. We got, you know, how about you? We lived in the same house since 1989. And, you know, we got stuff. I mean, just stuff upon stuff upon stuff. But we may need it one day, right? Right? Has anybody had that? We might need that, you know. So we have all this stuff, but, you know, sometimes we need to be ready just to lighten that load. You know, we need to let go of what we have so that we can grab a hold of the new thing that the Lord wants to do.
Yes.
You know, so be willing to just let go of that and just grab a hold of that new thing. You know, some, you know, whatever that is, it's in relationships and in our marriages and all these things. You know, if we, you know, want to see some change, we've got to be open to different things. And what we have to do is the idea of being able to deal with, you know, spiritual gravity on what that is. See, in the natural world, we have to overcome gravity to remain in flight. You know, it's science, right? How a big old plane with the air running across its wings and how all that works, I'm not going to explain it to you because I don't think I can, but, you know, it's amazing how they go. They overcome gravity, and that's in the natural. But see, the same thing is in the spiritual. There's spiritual gravity, things in our life that are trying to hold us down. And in the spiritual world, we have to deal with both the spiritual and mental obstacles that are holding us down from soaring. Because we have things in there that ain't working right in our mind. Things that short circuit our faith. You know, and what we kind of call those things, and we've addressed this before, is the idea of limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs. We all have limiting beliefs going on in our life. There are things that we believe, it's like a stronghold that's not true, but we believe it is. Just like, you know, I said, well, I'm never going to win anything. That was a limiting belief. Or I'm never going to succeed, or I'll never get a better job, or I'll never be healthy, or I'll never, you know, the list goes on. And see, if that predominant thought is in there, it's an anchor thought, we can pray and we can go through the words, but our faith isn't going to be effective because we still have that limiting belief as an anchor, and it overrides everything, correct? In our life. And so we need to shake it up a little bit. We need to, you know, be able to figure out what some of those limiting beliefs are. And that's why, you know, we do several classes, you know, small groups, but, you know, the freedom class that we do, it helps us to deal with some of those limiting beliefs. Things in our life that we strongly believe in that aren't really true in the kingdom, but yet we live by them all the time. And there's, you can be a Christian for 30, 40 years, die and go to heaven, and you're still going to have those limiting beliefs. Meaning, you know, you may believe in salvation, and that's all good, and get to go to heaven, but yet, a down on this world, we're going to be ineffective because we have this anchor thought that's holding us back. So, excuse me. My last point. Excuse me, there we go. Sorry about that if you're listening by online. Is whatever it takes. Okay. This is going to have two little points I want to close with. You know, eagles can fly up to around 10,000 feet. You know, if you search this on the internet, man, there's all kinds of ideas on there. But ballpark, 10,000 feet's pretty safe. That's about a couple miles up. That's up there, isn't it? That's pretty high in the air. Now, that means that an eagle can fly over a low storm. You know, some storms are really low, and they can fly above those, and they can fly above those low-level storms, and the currents just push them above, and then they can be totally exempt from that problem on how that works and being able to overcome it. And I mean, that's our goal, right? To be able to fly above the problems. But if you can only fly 10 or 11,000 feet, sometimes those storms are maybe 40,000 feet. Can't fly above those. What do you got to do? You're going to go through the storm. And so what an eagle does, it'll come down and it'll hunker down. It'll wrap its wings around itself and it just stands. It grabs a hold of something solid to dig its claws into. And no matter how hard the wind blows and all the things like that, it's not going to affect them. They're just going to go through that storm, because if they were out trying to fly in that storm, it would be exhausting. You know, it would be expending so much energy. And sometimes when you and I, you know, get into a storm, we need to understand, well, can I fly over this storm? Or do I just need to hunker down? Do I just need to grab a hold of the Word of God and ride this storm out?
Amen.
You know, an REO Speedwagon song's queuing up right now up there, I think. You know, that used to be one of my favorite ones, you know, coming back from Denver when I used to live out there, you know, riding the storm out. But anyway, so we need to know how to do that and to grab a hold of something. So what do you grab a hold of in a storm? I've been in a few storms in my life. You know, and one of them, I was in, it was in a straight line wind, and some of you heard that story. I mean, I was over in Iowa City and at a conference with Hilton Sutton, and it was really cool until the tornado hit. And it was a straight line wind, and me, you know, Mr. Invincible, I was going to outrun the storm. Nope. I made it to my car or my truck, and then the storm hit. And it was rough. I'll be honest, I had never grabbed a hold of a steering wheel so tight in my life. The wind was blowing so bad, it was scooting me across. And, you know, I was hunkered down. But I tell you what, it wasn't the smartest thing. It would have been smarter if I stayed where I was at, in a safe place, instead of being presumptuous. And we need to know the difference in that, so that we can be able to overcome. So this year, as we start this year off, you know, we know that the storm, whatever, you might be in a storm right now, this storm's gonna pass, and whatever comes to play, just let it play out. You know, soar above things if you can. If we can't, if we're not there yet, just hang on to God.
Amen.
And don't give up, and don't give in. And, you know, as we consider what this year is going to bring, you know, just know this, that it's time to soar in 24. You know, we're going to start to learn some things here, how we can win, how we can start to, you know, build some momentum in our life. You know, not just win one game out of 10, but I'm talking maybe 8 out of 10. Hey, nobody's perfect other than Jesus, right? You do know we're going to lose a couple, right? And if you don't go into the game knowing that there's a chance you might lose a little battle, we're going to win the war. But there's some things in our life you and I are going to face, and sometimes we may not get the desired outcome. So we're going to quit?
No.
You know, I was a boy, we used to play plastic ball, you know, and baseball with a plastic ball. This one kid, every time he lost, he owned the ball. So if things weren't going his way, he'd take the ball and go home. So we couldn't play no more. You know what I mean? We don't want to be that way. Right? You don't be a big baby. Oh, I lost. I ain't going to serve God no more. I'm not going to go to church no more because I blah, blah, blah. You know? Right? But, you know, sounds funny, but there's some people that think that way. Hey, just don't quit. Just don't quit. If something goes wrong, if you can, ask God to show you where you missed it. Just keep playing. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in prayer.